Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. I am your host, Nkululeko Nkeo, and it is a Friday. So between 2 and 3 in the next 60 minutes, you will hear a lot of football content that has happened over the past 7 days. We are back. The EPSA Premiership is still interesting. Mamelodi Sundowns, Orlando Pirates, Bidvest Wits, sometimes some people say Cape Town City as well. Something has happened to boost their chances of the title. We'll talk about that. I have Rodney Reiners in the studio, also have Clint Roper in the studio, and a new host from now, from next week onwards, is also in the studio. That is Shane, and we also have Simon as our audio engineer. So we'll talk about a lot that has happened over the past 7 days, but first things first, gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. Rodney, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
And how has the football treated you? I mean, in the midweek, on working days, we had to see Sundowns playing against Chippa United. It was a very nice game. They won 3-2. Were you able to catch those games? What did you make of the midweek fixtures?
Yeah, I thought what was very interesting in that Sundowns game was how you could clearly see he had the Wydad game at the back of his mind. Mm. So with the substitutions and the rotation that was on show, you could clearly see that... While that game was important as far as the PSL title was concerned, yeah, he was just as he had one eye always on that game in Rabat against Wydad Casablanca. So that's going to be quite an interesting one.
Yeah, we also have Clint Roper. It's interesting, Clint, that the PSL title race is mirroring a little bit of what we are seeing in the English Premier League, in the sense that one team wins and the other one wins. Whatever Manchester City can do, Liverpool seems to be able to match it. The same here at home, in that whatever Orlando Pirates is able to do, Mamelodi Sundowns comes back and they match it. Three matches in hand, and they won all three of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. A lot of people say that the strength of a league is often dictated by the amount of teams that can win it. Mm. And so some people frown upon La Liga, for example, saying, well, the only two teams who are ever battling for that title. Yeah. Same in Scotland, where you've got Celtic and Rangers traditionally. And people point to the EPL and say, well, there's any one of four or five teams that can win that
Absolutely.
League. Although, in my opinion, Man City are always going to win it from the start. But they will argue that it's a Liverpool or United can win it. What's great about the PSL in recent years is that while it was traditionally thought that Pirates and Chiefs were, it was a two-horse race, teams are spending wisely, they're recruiting wisely. Certainly Patrice Motsepe has shaken up the league with his money.
Absolutely,
and Pitso's continuity at Sundowns has turned them into a giant. And all of a sudden you've got teams like Wits and SuperSport and even Cape Town City who are able to compete. And I think it makes for a healthy competition. Mm. It's great to see midweek games in the PSL filling stadiums, 12,000 people at a time. So I think the league's stronger and it's only good for South African football.
Yeah, we also have Shane in the studio. He's going to be taking over from next week onwards as your new host. Shane, thank you very much for being with us. Your impression of the title race and the relegation battle in the EPSA Premiership before we move on?
Yeah. Welcome. I welcome myself and thank you for hosting me. One thing that I've noticed, especially down there in the relegation battle, the struggle of Maritzburg United seems to be continuing. Mm. And especially when you look at big players like your Fortune Makaringe, those are your players that your coach Eric Tingler was expecting to leave the team. But when you see those players are not giving their all, not saying they're not giving their all, but they're not producing the performance that they produced for Maritzburg
when they
were chasing the title last season. But this season, those players, when Coach Eric Tingler is there, depending on them, they don't seem like the spirit like they had last season.
Absolutely. Because the same is the case with a guy like Spesi Sindlovu, who was one of the best players of the season, but you're not seeing him this season.
Yeah. So those are also one of the minors for Maritzburg United this season. Hopefully, in the next three games, they'll produce a big performance that will at least put them in a spot for the playoffs of the PSL and National First Division playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is that they're running out of games. All of these teams at the bottom are running out of games, but Maritzburg United is a concern because they are on 20 points. I think the next best team next to them is on 24 points. So they are running out of games at the moment. However, we have a lot in our plate. As you may have seen on the headlines on the Sokala Duma website, there is an image of Pule Hendrik Ekstein. As you may have heard as well, over the past 24 hours, Pule Hendrik Ekstein is no longer a Kaizer Chiefs player. We'll find out from him as to what happened. We'll get an opportunity to speak to him. But first, though, the PSL has sent out a statement to say that the games that will start from tonight between Cape Town City and Chippa United will be shadowed by a cloud, a dark cloud, and there will be a moment of silence because Babi Fati, formerly of Bidvest Wits and an NFD side in Royal Eagles, he played there, he played for Real Kings in the National First Division, has sadly passed away yesterday. So the matches will commence with a moment of silence there. Gentlemen, I remember this guy, I think 2 or 3 years ago, playing really, really well. And there were a lot of speculations when he was at Bidvest Wits about Sundowns, Chiefs, naturally the bigger team, wanting to get his signature. And then it happened that he had to move away from football because of his heart problems. He was away for around 12 months. He came back at Real Kings. And of course, naturally, even at Real Kings, they couldn't extend his contract or continue playing him because of his heart problems. He was featured in this week's edition of the Sokala Duma newspaper with veteran journalist Thomas Kwenaite. Guys, let's talk about this a bit. It's saddening. However, it was a problem that everyone knew, all of his clubs knew, that playing him was always going to be a risk.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, his final interview was done in Sokala Duma, and there's a chilling headline on the front cover: Fatty, my life and death battle. And if you haven't got the Sokala Duma this week, go and get the paper just for that interview to hear his final words. And reading through that, what's very sad, and Rodney as a footballer will understand this as well, is there's a flippancy about the way that he speaks about this condition. He's not the first player to have a heart condition. Kanu, a very famous player, was diagnosed with one. There have been others, Vivian Fo.
Vivian Fo actually passed away in a Confederations Cup.
Passed away. And all these guys know that they've got a condition, but somehow they feel that they were born to play football. Why would God or whoever the higher power is at the same time hamstring them like this? And so there's this feeling of immortality, perhaps, or it won't happen to me. And days ago, he was speaking in Sokala Duma, and he's now passed away. Huge question mark. So if you read that interview, you'll see that Jose Ferreira of Wits and Gavin Hunt took it seriously enough to release the player.
Yeah.
Took it seriously enough to warn SuperSport from signing the player and saying, listen, yeah, this guy, you're actually going to kill this guy if you play him. So you've got to take your hats off to those gentlemen for doing the right thing, because he was a fantastic player.
Absolutely.
When he did play,
absolutely,
was one of the best on the park and could help you win games and help you win championships. So hats off to them. I think the bigger question that we've got to be asking is that at all these clubs, and not just in South Africa, but all over the place, these players are said to sign for clubs on condition of a medical. And you'd imagine at the highest level that these medicals are quite conclusive, not just do you have a hamstring strain or a sore knee. Surely you're checking lungs and checking hearts and doing all these tests. How is it that these heart conditions, and this one was a severe one that three doctors after he fainted could pick up immediately, how is it that that something this big is getting through the system? Something's going wrong, and this is not pointing fingers at the PSL. It's not, because it happens all over the world in the most sophisticated leagues. But I do think that that science, we're applying it to VAR and the game's advancing in this way. Surely the medical side of the game can start picking things up, because a guy like this would be walking around today if someone had just, one, a psychologist to say, you know what, I know it's difficult to walk away from the game, but unfortunately that's your lot in life. Become a coach, do something else. But two, a medical certificate should just go out to the world that says this guy can't play or he's going to kill himself.
The pool of football is
strong, I suppose, which is why he went against medical advice and decided to play on again. Ironically enough, I have an example. During my playing days, I had a classic example of this. Our goalkeeper at the time, Trevor Daniels, he played at Hellenic in the early 80s. He would have played with Hunty. And then he moved over to join us in the late 80s when we were still playing in the Federation Professional League. And he fainted at training once, completely collapsed. We were scared out of our minds when he just fell. He just crashed down to the ground while we were training. And he was also diagnosed with that type of heart condition. Mm. And he, from a good point of view, he took the medical advice, stopped playing, became a goalkeeper coach, and lived a good 20 years further down the line. He passed away recently, but he accepted the medical advice and stopped playing. I can understand as a footballer the pull of the game.
Yeah.
But we've got to think a little bit bigger than that as well.
Yeah, I suppose what Clint is raising about being able to still play through a medical, through doctors picking up that you have a problem, that perhaps questions should be asked about a system. I remember something similar happened with Rivaldo Kutsia, that he was supposed to sign for Glasgow Celtic in Scotland, and he failed a medical. He had a severe bone problem that was problematic, that it would need a year or two to resolve, but he passed a medical at Mamelodi Sundowns. They accepted him even with that. So, you know, there are gaps within the medical field or within the system in football. However, it shouldn't be a blame game. We have lost a player. He's contributed to the life of the Absa Premiership, albeit 2 or 3 years. And the Absa, the PSL has responded by indicating that there will be a moment of silence in honor of him and the victims as well that were struck by floods, by bad weather in the Eastern Cape, and also more severely in the KZN. Right, a lot has happened over the past 24 hours. Kaizer Chiefs unexpectedly announced the release of three players. Khotso Malope was a development player at Kaizer Chiefs, and Gustavo Paez was a player who had played around 10 seasons with only a few goals. Even by the time that he had signed for Kaizer Chiefs, people were talking about his ability to score goals. And also the biggest one, of course, the biggest name from all those players that were released by Kaizer Chiefs was Hendrik Eksteen. And we'll have an opportunity to speak to him, to hear it from the horse's mouth as to what led to the moment that now fans are bemoaning. Are Kaizer Chiefs fans happy? Of course not. They are not happy about the situation. Let's first talk about it as a team as well before we get to the man himself, Hendrik Eksteen. But then we'll talk about that right after this break.
Good morning, Mzansi. Exe Day is getting closer. Caller, what's your Exe shout-out?
My Exe shout-out goes to all my girls from Emakhaya, Emakasi, and to the city.
Ooh.
It's time, girls.
Nakanjani, next caller.
It's time to vote, South Africa. 8 May 2019 is Exe Day. Voting stations open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. To vote, bring your smart ID, green barcoded ID, or valid temporary ID, and make sure that the IEC has your address. Go and make your Exe heard by voting on the 8th of May 2019. Dial 0800 11 8000 or visit elections.org.za. Your X is your say.
Welcome back to Sokola Duma Radio. I am your host, Nkululeko Ngewu. We're still on the topic of Kaizer Chiefs releasing three players. And of course, the fan favorite of those players was Bule Hendrik Eksteen. We did a feature on him on Sokola Duma Radio to find out whether he is actually what they calling him to be. Is he really as good as they think he is? We did that, and it was polarized opinions, people thinking that he hasn't really proven himself. However, we talk about his release now and his potential destination. Shane, what was your reaction of the news yesterday when you found out about these players being released?
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about players who are his, I'll call him a high profile player for Kaizer Chiefs due to the fact that the Kaizer Chiefs fans love, they adored, I mean, Bule Eksteen. Mm. I mean, that is one player who has played for Kaizer Chiefs since the era of Stuart Baxter. But when you look at the stats, the stats doesn't prove anything that Bule Eksteen has been contributing to Kaizer Chiefs. Bule Eksteen in as many as 4 or 5 seasons at Kaizer Chiefs, when I look at these stats, they are not really convincing. Many people will blame Bobby Motaung and say, oh, Bule Eksteen, the fans, we are all like that as fans. But when you look at the stats, the stats agrees with Bobo Mutaung, agrees with Kaizer Chiefs. I might not be happy with the way, with how he, his contract situation was handled by the club, but when you look at what he gave to the team, he's won titles with the team. Also, this season and also the past season hasn't been a good season for him, but the team has decided he's gone. But the Kaizer Chiefs fans are totally not happy.
All right, we'll continue with that conversation after we speak to the man himself. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth now. We're joined now live on the line by Pule Hendrik Ekstein. Pule, we thank you very much for joining us on Sokola Duma Radio. All right, how are you feeling? I mean, it's been a very hectic 24 hours for you. How are you feeling and how is the body feeling? All right. And what kind of reception have you got from the Kaizer Chiefs fans? I suppose from social media, they would have sent you messages, and face to face, they would have seen you today. What kind of mood do you think they are in? All right. And then, of course, the most important thing is for us to find out exactly what led to the moment where the contract was terminated. What exactly happened? When did talks start about you extending the contract, and what led to the breakdown in talks? All right. And then for you, you would then be able to confirm to us that the breakdown in communication was about the length of the contract that they were offering, or was it about the amount, or was it about game time? It was the amount. So can you confirm to us that it was, were they offering you something lower? Was there a counter offer elsewhere other than Chiefs where the amount was significantly higher? All right. And then when you talk about the amounts as well, you are mentioning the fact that the club was not willing to meet you halfway. Were you genuinely interested in continuing for as long as the offer that was provided to you monetarily was at least in the range that you were looking for with your team and the agent? All right. And then, of course, there was a reality that at some point you were, at some point this season, an important part of Kaizer Chiefs. You could easily play four matches back to back, and that actually happened at some point this season. And then there was a point where the communication between you and the team, like you're mentioning now, broke down, and then you were not being played. Did you make any request to the club to say that in the meantime, do not play me whilst we are talking about this? Was this the club's decision not to play you whilst you are talking about the contract?
I'm not sure whether it's a coach or it's a manager. manage my social and my own play. But for me, I want to play with the team and continue working hard.
And of course, did you then at that point, were you then able to get any word from Coach Middendorp as to whether or not he's been given any instruction to say that you shouldn't play in the period when you are refusing to sign this contract?
Well, the thing was, Coach always wanted to play. I don't know if maybe I'm not going to play, I'm not sure, but Coach always wanted to play, you want to play me. Even the game against the Golden Arrows last season, he said to me, he's fighting me the team because of they don't want me to play, but he wants me to play. So I'm assuring why he wants me to play.
All right, so he confirmed to you that, the coach confirmed to you that he wanted to play you. However, unfortunately, the circumstances within the team did not allow him to play you. Yeah, obviously.
Then I went to call the first team on Friday because other players who played against the keeper, they were not playing. We were batting after if you play 50 minutes, you're not going to play, you're going to do a regeneration, you need to recover. So those players who played against Chiba United, they were not playing, so we had to come from the to go to the first team. So I played one day with the team, then I was in the team. When the coach told me that I'm going to start you and prove whoever or who said you must not play. And me, I don't care whether you have contract issues or anything, as long as I can see that you are doing well at training, I will play you. And I don't play you because of I favor you, I play you because of I can see that you are willing to play for the team.
All right. Pule, we appreciate you speaking to us. And before we let you go, we'd like to speak to you for the whole hour. However, time is not on our side. Before we let you go, what is the next step for you? Any clubs in contact, overseas offers? What is the next thing for you now?
For now, I don't have an offer.
Does that mean that you can always go back to Chiefs as well since you don't have an offer? Okay, all right. We seem to have lost Pule Hendrik Ekstein. However, the meat of the conversation we had spoken about, we really thank him so much for giving us his time. We really, really appreciate the openness, particularly the fact that, of course, it's still a delicate matter. It won't appear as if one side is slandering the other. However, you got the facts from the man himself. In short, there was a situation where at some point the player was offered something by the club and the player refused with his team, his management team. He refused the offer. They did a counter offer. However, both parties could not meet each other halfway. And the player is confirming that he is not speaking to anyone at the moment, or he has not spoken to anyone at the moment. So we don't necessarily know what is the next step. Of course, it's been speculation that plays on social media and on the Sokola Duma website, with people commenting that he'll probably go to Pirates, he'll probably go to Sundowns, and so on and so forth. Gentlemen, we have a matter to discuss in our hands. I'm sure, Rodney, you would have seen the story. You've seen it playing out. You've seen this movie before. What do you make of this?
Look, it's always very difficult when it comes to contract negotiations with players and clubs failing to come to terms. So I can understand the delicacy of the matter from Pule's mind. And I can understand where the club comes from as well. They've got a certain amount of money that they want to pay him, a certain amount of money that they value him at. And if he's a little bit higher than that, they might not want to do that. Both sides have their points of view, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Shane, your thoughts on the matter as well. I mean, it's a very delicate one. And it also has the element that I'm always passionate about. This idea that because you're not signing, we cannot play you. You know, let's touch on that a bit because it's something that is now common and prevalent with most PSL sides and, dare I say, in the world as well.
Yeah, It's common here in the PSL. And, you know, I have to give credit to Free State Stars, not to be going off the topic, but I remember Free State Stars when they hear that Netemba Janji signed a pre-contract with Bidvest Wits.
Yeah.
And they continue playing the player, but unfortunately, it happened that he had to pass on. But talking about Pule Exton, this thing is becoming a norm in PSL. And I think that is where the South African players, you know, needs to come in. But I also think they don't have much power to control what is happening with these teams of teams refusing to play players that have signed a pre-contract with other teams. I mean, professionally, if you sign a three-year contract with Orlando Pirates, you should play your three-year contract. If Orlando Pirates are serious about retaining you for the next season, they should negotiate your contract a year or even 2 years before your contract expires. I mean, you see these things happening in England. You'll never hear that Cristiano Ronaldo is on his last 6 months of his contract unless Real Madrid have no intentions of keeping him beyond his contract. But if that player, the team is serious, here in the PSL, you hear that a player, most of the time, they're signing a pre-contract because they have this tendency of always wanting to negotiate a contract when they want to. They don't think about what the player wants, they think about his future. It's happening now with Pule Exton.
Yeah. So, all right, Clint, you've experienced this a lot. I remember one season when Jomo Cosmos went down, Anthony Lafau at some point had signed a pre-contract with SuperSport United. Jomo decided not to play Lafau for 6 months, and the inevitable happened, that this is the most important player for him. He didn't use him. He was relegated for multiple reasons, one of them being that player. It's happening now with Patuchet Anange at Black Leopards. He signed a pre-contract elsewhere. It only took the media, a media storm, for them to be able to play their captain as well. Their former captain was also going away, was also moving away. Rodney Ramagalera has the same problem, that is one of the top goal scorers in the Absa Premiership. He's not being played by Polokwane City because he signed a pre-contract with Highlands Park. Let's talk a bit. I mean, there's also a side to this, that the clubs, what's the use of using a player? This is a side of an argument. What's the point of using a player you know is not going to be here?
Yeah. You've got to look at it from both ways.
Yeah.
So, as you rightly point out, a lot of these clubs, if they're not in a relegation fight or they're not in a fight for the title and their status is secured, I feel it's right for them to start planning for the new season with the squad that they know is going to report for pre-season. So in essence, if a player is leaving and it's his absence is not going to affect you in any way, I think it's the prerogative of the club to plan for the new season. And that's, they're doing that for the fans, they're doing it for the coaching staff. They can also start looking at transfer targets themselves. In a case where you're a top three side, for example, we've got Wits.
Yeah, Sundowns, Wits, and Pirates are the top three. Wits is one of the teams.
And you've got a guy like Darren Keat,
yeah,
who's being benched because he hasn't signed a contract.
Mm.
That you got to start asking questions about, because technically they're still in the race. And when you've got arguably the best goalkeeper in the country sitting on your bench, and that's affecting the outcome of winning or losing a league, then you've got to start asking questions. So that's a delicate, delicate situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's an emotive one, one that we are better off hearing from the actual victims or the actual parties themselves. And we had the fortunate opportunity to speak to Darren Keat, who is in a similar situation, that he saved Bafana Bafana, played an important role alongside guys like Percy Tau in the last game of the AFCON qualification group against Libya in Tunisia. Bafana Bafana are now in the AFCON 2019 that will be played in Egypt, and Darren Keat was one of the star players in that game particularly. And then the very next game in the league, he was not played, and we knew that there were contract talks. Let's hear from Darren Keat himself about what he feels about the situation.
Well, at the moment, we are looking at moving overseas. We have a few bites here and there, but nothing to run home about at the moment. I want to get back overseas, you know, take my family. My son's 4 years old, so we also want to get him overseas again and see from there. I also said that if I do leave Wits, it won't be for a team inside South Africa, because obviously Wits have been good to me and it's been a good working relationship. But yes, for myself personally, I'm looking at going overseas. Obviously, being on the bench it's not where I want to be. Everyone wants to play, but it doesn't change the fact that I'll still give my best for the club and for the team going forward.
And that's the voice of Darren Kidd, ladies and gentlemen. You're still listening to Sokola Duma Radio with myself, Nkululeko Nkeu, and Rodney Reiners, Clint, and Shane, with Simon Strela being our producer. Thank you very much for being with us up to this point. We are at the halfway stage of our conversation. Mamelodi Sundowns are playing tonight in the CAF Champions League. The last time, and I think Rodney made this point, that the last time Mamelodi Sundowns played and we previewed them, analyzed them with Coach Gordon Eggerson, they made a mockery of us because we played up Al Ahly, 8-time champions in the CAF Champions League. Mamelodi Sundowns beat Omosimane, boom, 5-0. So, I don't know where to start here. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I suppose it means with a good luck charm for Sundowns. So let's hope it's the same again. 2016 winners against 2017 winners. It's going to make for a very interesting one. But I must agree with what Pitso said, I think it was on Tuesday when they played Chipper. They're going to have to try and score away. That's going to be extremely vital for them, that they're getting an away goal. And then bring that back to Atteridgeville the following weekend and finish off the job.
These teams have played so many times in recent times. They played in these group stages of this edition. The team that plays at home won. So Sundowns went away to Wydad Casablanca in Morocco. They lost 2-1. Wydad Casablanca came to South Africa. They lost 1-0. Shane, your thoughts on the strengths of these sides and perhaps your prediction where you see this going?
A huge, huge, huge game for Coach Peter Mosimane and his side. I mean, Sundowns, this is probably... They started playing in 2018. I remember their game in Pretoria where they drew 1-1. Then Sundowns went to Rabat. They lost 1-0. Mm. They also played in the group stages. Mm. If it was the knockout stages, that they, like, fortunately for Sundowns, they met in the group stages.
Yeah.
Because if they were meeting in the knockout stages, Sundowns would be out. Because remember, Sundowns won 2-1 in Pretoria. They went away to lose 1-0 in Morocco. So for Sundowns, this is a big, big, big game. This is one team that always gives them trouble. I remember this season in the group stages, that was the first time they were beating Wydad Casablanca. So Coach Peter Mosimane is looking to beat this team out of his way and go to the final, but it will be very difficult. But for Coach Pizzo, he's won his last two games. I mean, in the Absa Premiership against Baroka, he's won his game against Chipa. But for Wydad, they drew their last game against Raja Casablanca. That was a huge, huge game. I think it also took its toll on the players. They also lost their previous game before they played against Raja Casablanca. They lost 2-1. So Pizzo Mosimane could be banking on that, saying, hey, these guys might be a little bit low on morale, but when it comes to league games and also Champions League games, they seem to be a bit of a balance that this team is maintaining.
Because, quick one, your prediction then?
This one, I say 1-0 to Wydad, but I wish they can play a 1-1 draw, but for Wydad, they'll be too cautious. Should they score first? Sundowns, I don't see that Sundowns scoring.
Clint, your quick prediction on tonight's game?
Yeah, so Sundowns in three previous visits to North Africa have struggled to score. They haven't scored. Mm. I think Pitso says it's important to get a goal or come away with at least a draw. I'm going to go 0-0 will be a good result if they can keep it tight at the back. I just think it's great that we're in the semi-final of another CAF Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the same time, he's still in the running for the league. So big ups to Pitso.
All right, Rodney, before we go to our guest...
I'm going to go 1-1. I think Sundowns are playing extremely well at the moment in that Champions League. And I think I'm going to tip them to get a goal this time on the road in Rabat.
All right. Okay. Of course, we would never talk about Sundowns in the Champions League without getting a person who has first-hand experience of Mamelodi Sundowns playing in the Champions League. We're now joined on the line by one of the best players to have ever played in the Absa Premiership. Very, very, very talented individual, Roger Fetumba. Roger, thank you very much for speaking to us on Sokola Duma Radio. How are you? All right, we're trying to get Roger on the line. Roger, thank you so much for speaking to us on Sokola Duma Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm good, my brother.
Yeah, very nice to speak to you. We spoke a few weeks ago when Mamelodi Sundowns was still playing in the quarterfinals or in the group stages. They are now in the semifinals of the CAF Champions League. They're playing tonight in Morocco. What would you be saying to the boys if you were in the dressing room?
That good football, you know, they are in the country.
So at the moment, Sundowns is the best team for me in the country. This is so far as I've been very, very well. You can't take that away from them. Sundowns is one of the best teams in Africa. So they have to go into that game with a lot of confidence. They deserve to be where they are. And I believe that you have what it takes to have a good result in Morocco.
Does you've played in these kind of games and these kind of competitions, even in African Cup of Nations before. When you meet a team in the group stages that you defeated and they defeated you, and then you now play in the semifinals at the advanced stages of the knockout, does this mean anything, the fact that they've played two times in the group stages of this season's CAF Champions League?
They had a good run against Chippa, they had a good run in African Cup of Champions League against Al Ahly. So I believe they're going to this game with a lot of confidence. They're going to this game believing that they can even have a good result away from home. So they have what it takes to go to the final. They have what it takes to win this game. Like I'm saying, the most important game for them is today's game. They don't have to think about the return game home. You have to take this game as it comes. So they have to make sure that they go into this game really, really focused. Because the result of today's game is going to make up. We have to do the best. We have to do our best. And I think that they have what it takes. They have a good team. They are one of the best in Africa today. Going to this game, the only thing I can say to them is to try to play the way they usually play. You don't have to go into thinking about the return game. The most important game for them is the first game they win today.
All right. And of course, they are the strongest team in the country in terms of squad strength and the best talent that they have in the country. And you are going as far as saying they are one of the best teams on the continent, rather. Does it matter when Sundowns play a game on Tuesday and then they play a game as big as this on Friday? Will that have any impact? Because Bitsa Mosamane has said, after the Chippa game on Tuesday, that he will play the same starting 11 because he trusts those boys, and those boys are his squad.
I think they have been in that situation before. And like I always say, most of these things go at Tumble. They're used to that type of situation. They have been playing international game. Most of them are coming from the national team, even though you are foreigners. So they are used to that type of atmosphere, they are used to that type of situation. I believe that for people to do something like that, you know who's that, you know who's injured, you know who's beating top, you know who's mentally ready to go into this type of game. I believe that it will give us a good squad to go in and have a good result.
But before we let you go, legend, we have to ask you this. There is now Tupiso Mazembe, Esperance to Tunis, there's Wydad Casablanca, and there's Mamelodi Sundowns. Take your pick on the four teams that you think will win this edition of the CAF Champions League.
With the current form of Sundowns, I would take Sundowns. That's what I'm saying, that they don't need to think too much about who is involved in the semi-final, who they can meet in the final. The most important game for them is to take it. And they have to go into this game full of confidence, play the way they usually play, and I believe they will come out with a good result.
All right, Roger Fetumba, a lot of Sundowns fans who are tuning in on Sokola Duma Radio Live will like what you are saying. We thank you very much for always availing yourself to speak to us. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much. That is Roger Fetumba, one of the best players to have ever played in this league, at least the most elegant, one of the most elegant left foot to have ever played in South Africa. That is Roger Fetumba. I ask him about Mamelodi Sundowns' chances. There's Mazembe, there's Esperance, there's Wydad, there's Mamelodi Sundowns, and he's tipping Mamelodi Sundowns, unsurprisingly. Gentlemen, four teams are remaining. We asked this question when they were about to face Al Ahly. We were not sure generally as to whether or not they could go on and take it. I will ask this again. Are there any doubters now that they've defeated Al Ahly 5-0, 5-1 on aggregate?
I think the Mamelodi Sundowns that destroyed Al Ahly are the same Mamelodi Sundowns that can win this whole thing. If Pitso can get the guys firing and believing in themselves, believing that they are actually the best in the continent, buying into Patrice Motsepe's dream of being the Barcelona of the African continent, then certainly that can go all the way. And we just hope that South Africa as a whole take your club jersey off, get behind them for flying the flag, because it can only be good for Bafana Bafana, it can only be good for South African football.
Mm. Yeah, I think we're going to have to commend what they've done. I mean, I just read the stat earlier on, I think it was on the Soccer Laduma website as well, that this is their 50th game of the season. And I mean, that's a staggering amount of football. And they're still in for the PSL title. They're still in for the Champions League. They have to be commended for what they've done. And I'm going to definitely doff my cap for what Pitso and his boys have done. So let's, like Clint says, let's get behind them and let's get Sundowns to win this thing again.
Would you go as far as saying that they will take it, Shane?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You don't just beat Al Ahly with that kind of score and not win the Champions League, especially meeting Al Ahly in the quarterfinals. You don't beat Al Ahly, I mean, the most successful club on the continent, and not win this CAF Champions League. Mm. And Sundowns have got all the experience, they've got all the players, I mean, they've got all the ammunition, they've got one of the best coaches in Africa, in Coach Peter Mosimane. I think they should win, I mean, this round of the semifinals and go and meet. I like revenges because I remember they also had a game where they lost to Esperance de Tunis a couple of years ago. Hopefully they will meet Esperance in the final of this CAF Champions League.
All right. Okay, we're still on Soccer Laduma Radio. If you've been with us since the beginning, thank you so much. If you've just joined us, we touched on Pule Hendrik Ekstein, his situation. We actually spoke to the man himself, who explained to us and you, of course, the listener, the situation behind him leaving Kaizer Chiefs. And it wasn't a pretty situation that he drawn or he described, if you are a Kaizer Chiefs fan, because Kaizer Chiefs fans really adore that player. We also touched on Papi Fati and his passing. We've now just recently concluded a conversation with Mamelodi Sundowns former player Roger Fetumba, who begs Mamelodi Sundowns to go all the way and win the CAF Champions League. Of course, the first stop has to be Morocco tonight at 9 p.m. You enjoy that game right after you've just enjoyed, or maybe at halftime after you've enjoyed Chippa United against Cape Town City. All right, every Wednesday you can get yourself a copy of the Soccer Laduma newspaper for only 4 rands. There's a lot that was unpacked this week. It was quite valuable. We had a conversation with Papi Fati. We didn't know. I'm sure Thomas Gwanaite, TK, the veteran African journalist who spoke to him, did not know that that would be the last conversation he would be having with the man himself. We spoke about that at length. Biva Nazo, our journalist, spoke to Thandani Ntshumayelo, who is now back at Baroka from his suspension from football following a doping misconduct. And there's also an editor's column. He borrows the pen of Vuyani Joni. That is Olunga Adam, the sub-editor, who speaks about the price increase from 3.90 to 4 rands. The first time I started picking up a Soccer Laduma newspaper, it was only 2.20 rand, and it's still not more than 5 rands. Right, so you get yourself a copy for only 4 rands every Wednesday. Gentlemen, we have another matter in our hands. We'll go back to the Kaizer Chiefs matter to find out what the mood is amongst Kaizer Chiefs fans in a bit, in around 2 or 3 minutes. We'll speak to one of their super fans, one of the most recognizable faces of Kaizer Chiefs, that is Masilo Machaka. But we have a matter in our hands. We've just received the news now that Cape Town City, they had played a game against Bloemfontein Celtic. Celtic were playing at home. There are disgruntled Celtic fans who want clarity about the status of the club. They invaded the pitch around 22-23 minutes. The match was not shown live, but we spoke to the parties in one of the big issues. The PSL has now said that all the 3 points from that game have been awarded to Cape Town City. Rodney, the implications of that and your impression of that?
Well, I think the PSL probably needed to make a firm decision and take a stand against crowd behavior. It's been a problem. We know it's been a problem in the PSL, and they needed to send out a strong message. And I think that with giving the points to City, it does send out that strong message, I think, that is required.
Yeah, I mean, another reaction to this reading the comments on the Sokola Duma page was that this was dealt with very quickly. Why the fans were asking why? Of course, we commended, well done to the PSL for dealing with it in the manner in which they did. We don't know whether Celtic will appeal. Of course, if they have the right, they have the right to appeal. But why was it dealt with as quickly as more than other matters?
Yeah, that is a very good point. I think we spoke about this the last time as well when we were speaking about the Sundowns matter, which has been dragging on for quite a long time. The Tenda and Doro saga dragged on quite a long while. The Durban fiasco.
The Moses Mabhida fiasco. Yeah,
that took quite a while as well. So there are questions that need to be asked about why this has been dealt with quickly and why the others have not been dealt with quickly. That is definitely a question that needs to be asked.
All right, Shane, your reaction on the points given to Cape Town City and maybe even boosting Cape Town City's chances of finishing in the Champions League's places or even winning the league?
Yeah, it got me by surprise. It got me by surprise that the PSL moved swiftly, I mean, to deal with this matter, as Rodney just said now. I mean, the PSL, there's a case that has been pending, a case that everybody's been talking about, the case of Wayne Arendse, Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates. But still, that still hasn't been resolved. But this case, I think it happened about around 3 weeks ago.
Yes,
but already it has been resolved. I hopefully will get a good answer from the PSL as to how did it go. Maybe they've got their own reasons. But when it comes to fan violence, I think there's also a rule also in the CAF Champions League, because I remember there was a team in that group of Mamelodi Sundowns back in 2016 when they won the Champions League. There was a team from I can't remember the country, but it's a huge team. They were the defending champions at that time, but their fans, they threw missiles into the pitch. But they in that group where Mamelodi Sundowns ended up, there were three in their group in 2016 when they went on to win the CAF Champions League. So I think the PSL, I don't know how their rules differ from CAF rules, but I really don't know how this one was really quickly resolved.
Yeah, the thing is, I think that we take everything in context and we understand the situation to be unique in itself. We know that this could not have been fans of any other team other than Celtic fans, because they've expressed themselves that they will go and picket outside the stadium. I suppose they would have looked, the DC would have looked at things like, you guys knew the situation long time ago. We did, as Sokola Duma, a big issue, I suppose around November last year, about, and I posed this question to Bloemfontein Celtic, and I said, what if the situation turns violent, that the fans, because the fans had said at the time that they will continue picketing outside the stadium every home match, but they will never break or vandalize anything. Now it turned violent. We now know that those are Bloemfontein Celtic fans. It could not have been misconstrued but to be anything else, because with the Sundowns Pirates matter, there were allegations that these are Sundowns fans wearing Orlando Pirates jerseys and so on and so forth. Clint, your reaction to the 3 points being awarded as opposed to a fine to Cape Town City, to Bloemfontein Celtic?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, a club is responsible for the conduct of their fans. That precedent is set all over the world. And if you look all over the world, you would. It seems that when there is any speculation around crowd violence, or there are measures put in place to deal with that. I know that the policing of the fans are being left to the clubs themselves. And you've just got to wonder if the PSL maybe shouldn't implement some kind of a system whereby the club's security company of choice is actually somehow tested to make sure that they are football, fan, stadium security specific and ready. Are they actually equipped to deal with football fans, with the passion of football fans, knowing that it can get out of hand? So I think maybe the PSL needs to look at that and get clubs to prove their stadium readiness in the event of a situation, because it only seems in South Africa, and not just Africa, Africa on the continent, that it's only when something happens that we find out that actually we're not equipped to deal with this. We're actually just a presence, a uniform, and a whistle. And when the shit hits the fan, excuse my language, that's when people lose lives, and that's when we're all sorry and remorseful. But then it happens again.
I suppose the question would be that why, in one instance, where was a team given a ban, a stadium ban, but in this instance, there are points awarded. However, of course, we're coming to the end of the season, and there was probably merits on why points were deducted. We are now joined on the line by Bidvest CEO Jose Ferreira. Jose, thank you very much for holding. We appreciate you being with us on Sokola Duma Radio. How are you doing in these dark times for the club? Mr. Ferreira, just confirm if you can be able to hear us. From our side, we cannot hear you. All right. We'll try and get Jose on the line once more just to talk about Papi Fati and the circumstances that led to the club terminating the contract and the reaction overall, because he would have been a hero to the fans of Bidvest Wits at some point. I loved his football and his impact at that club 3-4 seasons ago. Right, gentlemen, there's also another matter that we need to deal with here that has piqued my interest. We knew that in the NFD, at some point, Stellenbosch FC was a front runner. And Shane on Tuesday spoke to Sean Barker and posed this question that you guys were front runners in the National First Division for a very long time, but you let it slide. However, now they only hold, Stellenbosch FC holds a 2-point lead on top of Royal Eagles, who are on 50 points, and Ajax Cape Town on 48 points. Let's touch on the National First Division. We have only 10 minutes left in the show. Let's touch on the National First Division and talk about who are the favorites. Remember that there's only one slot allocated to automatic promotion, so these teams will fight to death for that one spot, because the other two, number two and number three, will play number 15 for the promotion relegation playoffs. Gents, let's talk Stellenbosch FC. You spoke to Steve Barker this week on the big issue on Sokola Duma Radio, and he won the game subsequently against TS Galaxy on Wednesday 2-1, two goals from Ikram Reyes. What was your impression of him when you spoke to him? Did you get the sense that he probably will win the league?
Yeah, I think he's ready. I mean, a great performance, especially from the first half, where their top goal scorer, Ikram Reynolds, he scored a brace. I mean, they are ready. They are just only two games left. Should they win one and draw one, I think they will be set and free. But in terms of if you want to be sure about promotion, they just have to win their remaining two games, then they are set and free. I mean, Steve Barker, he spoke to us on Tuesday. He said that his players were ready, and I could see that his players were ready. But you could see towards the second half, you could see that
the legs. TS Galaxy
came back strongly. And you could see also TS Galaxy, not going away from the topic, that they are also ready. They show signs of readiness for the Nedbank Cup final. Those boys are fired up. But for Stellenbosch, you can see that the boys are getting a bit tired, but it's almost there. That's the two wins, then they are straight to the PSL next season.
The long and short of it is that TS Galaxy, Stellenbosch FC have 52 points, Royal Eagles have 50 points, Ajax Cape Town on 48 points. So those are, it's a three-horse race. There's also Sakoma Tsamatse Bandera on 47 points at some point. There are pending cases on them because there's an under-23 rule which they have not adhered to, allegedly, in terms of the protests that we've seen. However, I want to deviate a little bit to the gentlemen who are more experienced in this. Gents, your impression of the one automatic spot allocated to those teams, is that not demotivating to know that there are 16 teams only playing for a slot, one slot, to be number one, to be promoted to the Absa Premiership?
Yeah, I've always been of the opinion that it should be top two go up, and then in the PSL the bottom two go down.
Yeah.
Simple. That's the way I see it. The PSL doesn't see it that way. They've got only the one, because then you've worked the whole season and you might not even get promotion, because it could go to the other PSL club that finished second last. So I'm in the other camp, but that is the way it is at the moment. And I think for Stellies, the spirit's looking very good there, and I think they could probably go all the way.
Your impression, Clint? Which camp do you belong in, and your justification?
Yes, look. The, at the end of the day, I think the PSL, to a certain extent, understand that the money and the deals that they do are based on the 16 clubs that are in the PSL. So that TV deal, the sponsorship that comes in. And so when it comes to voting on promotion and relegation and the structure thereof, they're going to try come up with a system that almost ensures their survival, even if they do find themselves at the bottom of the table. Even the structure of the playoffs for the teams that have to qualify, I feel, are in some way, it hamstrings an NFT division club. Some people don't have the same resources. Also, they're playing with this under 23 rule that that doesn't allow them to create a system to compete with a PSL team who doesn't have that rule. So there are a lot of things against the NFT side.
Yeah, the other curveball about this, and this, the coaches have always said this, is that they will start the playoffs around close to June, and they will end the playoffs in July, mid-July, and it's like 4 weeks before a new season starts, and that's why we have a lot of these teams who qualify via playoffs from the National First Division, and they go straight back down most of the time.
Yes, it's, I mean, it's the system heavily hamstrings the NFT clubs, and you make another great point. Is how do you prepare for a season that you don't know you're going to be in, because suddenly you've got a different budget to work with as opposed to an NFT budget.
Sure.
But like I said, the PSL teams will kick and scream. They don't want to. The gap between the NFT, the amount of money involved in that, and the PSL is an abyss, and once you fall into that abyss, it's very difficult to get out with just the one team going up. That said, it would be nice. Stellenbosch should be rewarded for what they're doing, and it would be nice to see them go straight through. Personally, I think Ajax Cape Town, with the investment in youth, they've been leaders in the Western Cape, and certainly an example to the rest of the PSL.
Sure.
That you invest in youth, and so I just think they got the structures to allow South African talent to blossom, and I'd like to see them back competing at the highest level.
Yeah, there's also a small matter. I say a small matter sarcastically, of course, before we wrap up the show with less than 3 minutes of the under 23 rule. At some point, I think 5 years ago or 4 years ago, it was compulsory to have five under 23 players in the starting lineup. Within the starting lineup, that's when you would see guys like Jomasono and all the other teams playing these under 23 players, and then 10 minutes later they hook them off, like they take two of them out. Now the rule is that at any stage in the starting 11 you must have two throughout the 90 minutes. If you substitute one, you must substitute with the other. There must always be like two under 23 players, and in the whole team sheet you must have five of the under 23 players. Now Tsakuma Tsamatsebandera is in the docks because they are accused of having matches where initially from the beginning of the game they had these players, but the end of the 90 minutes there's not a single player, or there's only one who is under 23 in the starting 11. What do you chance make of that rule before we wrap up? Quickly, your thoughts in less than 60 seconds.
I mean, it shouldn't be difficult. I mean, that is how it should be. I mean, most teams in the National First Division should be using players under the age of under 23. But because of the experience, many teams, they prefer to use these experienced players. I mean, it should start from the ABC Mutsipe League. There should be a structure.
There is an age limit as well. Continue. There is an age limit even in the ABC Mutsipe League.
Sure.
That's why you have players who are 21 years old for five different years using different identities, because they want to circumvent that under 21 rule. But you can continue.
So that is why I'm saying it shouldn't be difficult. I mean, Chakuma, they know the rules. I mean, if they are found to be guilty, they will be punished. That is why they also dented their chances of also making a chance of gaining points and gaining a spot in that NFD PSL promotional playoffs. But for this, the rule, it's quite a good rule. Two players of under 23 age, it shouldn't be difficult to do.
All right. Clint, your take? Rodney, your take?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, look, I'm completely against this under 23 rule at NFD level.
At that level, level.
Yeah, I think that in the next tier, I mean, remember that these clubs are going to go up to the PSL next season. And at that level, you should be having whoever the coach wants to pick, he should pick. If you want to have an under 23 development league, they can go and play in the MDC. Mm. We can create an under 23 league where the kids can go and play. But I think if this is our next tier, our second tier of professional football, there shouldn't be an under 23 rule. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they are businesses. That's what Jomasono used to say. Dr. Jomasono used to say that these teams are businesses. They should not be forced to. They should not be told to how to run their businesses. As we wrap up, gentlemen. Suppose your take, Clint, on this in terms of the under 23 rule and whether it hamstrings the National First Division clubs. What's the next step? What should be done about this?
Look, if you look at the sentiment behind the rule, the sentiment is good. It's saying let's develop young talent in South Africa. But for the PSL to pass that buck onto the NFD, a promotional league, I think is the wrong way to do it. There are other ways to ensure that development takes place. Make sure that there's a rule that all PSL clubs, youth coaches, must have UEFA licenses to make sure that young players are getting the best coaching. That would be a better way of doing it. As Rodney mentioned, there's an MDC league. Make that an under 20 league. So there are various ways of doing it. I don't think it should be carried by the NFD. I think they're fighting for promotion. It's hard already. Let's not make it harder.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, of course, I suppose my take on it is that the irony of this under 23 rule is that in 2016, when we went to the Rio Olympics, Amagluklu, the under 23s, only had one under 23 player in the national from the national first division. That was Mutobi Mvala, who was playing for Highlands Park at the time. All the other players, including goalkeeper Itumele Nkune, were players over the age that we even had. Two players over the age of 23, who of course that is allowed, but we didn't take players from the National First Division who are regular players. We rather took players who are bench players, under 23 players, 21-year-olds from Kaizer Chiefs who are not playing in their clubs. Right, we've just finished a conversation regarding the National First Division. We had Roger Fatumba on the show. You've missed out on a lot of that if you were not with us. If you've been with us, hopefully you enjoyed the journey. We spoke to Bole Hendrik Ekstein as well. We tried to speak to other parties as well, but we didn't get an opportunity to chat to them. However, all of these topics will be further explored in the next edition of the Sokola Duma newspaper on the Sokola Duma website. We follow all the hottest football stories in the land. We are one of the biggest, if not the biggest, on the continent when it comes to football stories. My name is Ngululeko Nkeu. Rodney Reiners was with me. Clint Roper was with me. Shane Simons-Rueller was with me as well. Thank you very much for joining us. Until next time.
Sokola Duma Radio. Sokola Duma Radio.